This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's not too often that we can talk about the subject or subjects that we're going to talk about now. We have all been tremendously traumatized and affected by what we saw via video in Minneapolis, which then prompted people to learn about an incident they didn't know about in LA. New Year's Eve, Keith Porter, off-duty ICE agent, and some folk think that's mitigating. I don't. We'll talk about that. And then, of course, Renee Good, the videos that we've seen make it even worse. It's almost as if we're back in 2020. We were all inside and captive on a loop video of seeing first Ahmaud Arbery and then George Floyd and then hearing about Breonna Taylor. So we want to get into that. Two folks who've really been working hard on the ground in both Minneapolis and L.A., around this issue. Malina Abdullah, of course, of Black Lives Matter Grassroots, most recently nominee for vice president under the Green Party. We'll do a little poll. How many think she would be better than J.D. Vance? Maybe we'll do that. I think I already know the answer. We'll just stipulate what everybody's going to say. Malina on her worst day, you know, would be better. And then, of course, full disclosure, many of you know I'm now on the National Governing Board of Common Cause, but it does not conflict me from on this show talking to the Common Cause state directors. And we have just such one with the beautiful name, Anastasia Belladonna. She is the Common Cause Minnesota state director. Happy to have both of you here. Let's start with you, Malina, and go a little bit in chronological order, because people didn't even know about Keith. And you know, it kind of like, you know, it Renee, as tragic as it was, it also, God works in mysterious ways. It gave us an opportunity to also focus on Keith, because people constantly, what's going on in Minneapolis? And so other folks like, well, did you hear about LA too? And they were like, what? So please, Malina, tell us about Keith Porter and what happened. It was New Year's Eve, right?
It was New Year's Eve. Keith Porter is a 43-year-old Black father of two girls that are 9 and 19 years old. He is a hard worker. He's his mother's only son. He's also the cousin of one of our members in Black Lives Matter Los Angeles. His cousin, Janae Tyler, is a member. And so on New Year's Eve, Keith did what thousands of people around the country do, which is go outside his own home and shoot a celebratory shot from his gun into the air. Unbeknownst to him, in the complex that he lived in, an ICE agent had moved in. That ICE agent went inside his unit, put on tactical gear, grabbed his ICE-issued firearm, came outside, and killed Keith dead right in front of his own doorway. It's disgusting. It's outrageous. It's enraging. We found out in Black Lives Matter Los Angeles immediately, because Miss Tyler, I call her Miss Tyler because she's also my daughter's counselor, school counselor, called us in the middle of the night and let us know what was happening. What we've seen is what we see all the time, which is what we call a double murder. So they steal Keith's body, and then they assassinated his character. So LAPD really quickly made statements to media calling Keith a suspect, calling him an active shooter, and hailing his murderer as a hero. That ICE agent has not been named, has not been arrested, has not been charged. And there have been very few public statements by elected officials, by politicians, by government, by celebrities. And so it's been the people on the ground fighting for justice in the name of Keith Porter. And we're also really, I do want to say that solidarity is happening as well. And so we're grateful to the family of Renee Good for uplifting Keith Porter's name. And I think it's tremendous in showing her spirit and who she is as an accomplice and as an ally and as one who loves and put her own body on the line for Black people and people of color. So we're grateful for the ways that the movement is moving in solidarity to demand justice.
Amen, amen. Anastacia, first of all, let me just say, there's something happening in real time now that Anastacia will probably also be keeping us updated on. But please feel free to do that. But also, talk to us a bit about what you've been doing and what happened. And you shared with me, because the first reports were that you actually knew Renee, or that you all had a relationship. And then I think you texted me that it wasn't clear who it was, and there was a thought that this was someone else, and it went, ended up Renee. But nevertheless, you're in that circle. Talk to us about that, if you would.
So, thank you so much for clarifying that. I do want to say that, first of all, there was complete chaos on the scene. I am one of a network of civil rights attorneys here in the Twin Cities area. And when things such as this egregious happens, the last time I want to bookmark and say that this similar to this kind of hands, you know, all hands on deck happened was when our families were being put in cages. And we had similar types of raids, and we had to grab our laptops and run to the airports and try to figure out how we can intervene. But in that chaos, we have been supporting a lot of our grassroots nonprofits on the ground that have been doing amazing work, training people and making sure that we had constitutional observers when these types of ICE-initiated attacks were taking place. And so, waves of training, et cetera. Initially, I thought that it was one of the activists that we had trained that this had happened to. And that's where the misunderstanding took place. But regardless, Renee's loss is a sting. It is, a huge loss to that community. Renee is not a domestic terrorist. Renee is a mother of three who had just moved to the Twin Cities about a year ago, who loved singing and was artistic and amazingly talented. Renee is me. Renee is my sister. What is happening? And my tears are not just sadness, they're outrage. What is happening in the Twin Cities is something I read about in law books when I was in law school. It is something that I raised my son to understand under historical truth, but I never thought I would be in a sense, policing my 25-year-old now from work and back, because he needs a civil rights attorney to escort him so that I can sleep and so that he is safe. And this is not an exaggeration. Mainstream media is not doing justice to cover everything that is happening in the Twin Cities. Okay. Renee, that morning, had just set out to do volunteerism. Renee, the falsehoods and disinformation out there about her blocking ICE, I trust the American people's eyes. If you don't live in Minneapolis, I will tell you, when you look at that video, understand there are two lanes, each are one way, heading south. Renee's car was mostly in the bike lane. There's some snow and ice, and there's about a third of her car in that far right hand, in the right hand lane. When you see ICE coming up to her, ICE is not coming up to her to try to go around. You literally see her wave a car through. And now that we have the video of the officer who murdered her, you can even see her saluting him and smiling at him and saying, hey, basically, right? Look at her body language. It's nothing about confrontation, no swearing, no cussing, okay? And she waved that other car through. Well, you know why the other car can get through? Because there's a lane. There's a left lane. There's two parallel lanes that's completely clear, right? So I think, again, I believe CNN, and I encourage people to watch it, CNN has pulled together a compilation of a 3D model that shows exactly what happened, or at least the best rendition based on all of the videos that they were able to collect offline and compile what they call like the scenario.
Right.
It's clear. You can see what happened in Renee's case. I think that we honor Renee by pivoting from just talking to some of the people that knew her way close, you know, very closely, and listening to her family, her beautiful family, talk about it. I think Renee would want us to pivot, not from the tragedy of how her life was taken, but for what she stood and why her life was taken.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And now, to be clear, you mentioned me right now at this hour, there are some oral arguments.
Correct.
With
correct.
Regards to what litigation?
Yes. Yes. So I want to say that yesterday, I believe it was, our Attorney General, Keith Ellison, and the mayors of the city of Minneapolis, the city of St. Paul, and I believe a couple of other individual or local people representing various parts of government filed an emergency, what they call a TRO, a temporary restraining order, that is asking for the judge to place an order preventing ICE from behaving a certain way or continuing the surge. I want people to understand something very clearly. The city of St. Paul's police department and the city of Minneapolis's police department, Minneapolis has only about 600 officers. There is a surge there right now of I believe just over 2,000, with another 1,000 coming. This isn't just about, you know, coming after individuals that they have a judge signed warrant, not an administrative warrant, a judge's warrant that names someone and says, you are in violation of something and we need to remove you. All of us want that. All of us want individuals who have criminal backgrounds, right, removed if they are not here legally. All of us want due process of law in that process, right? So with the warrant, with the petitions that were filed, there were two, the petitions that were filed yesterday, one of them is a TRO to put a stop to this surge continuing to come in. I believe that it was characterized as a federal takeover. And I believe that when you look at those numbers, you see why it is in the language in there is called about, I believe it is, and I wanted to quote this because I do not want to misspeak, but it is basically characterized as a federal seizure. The other
thing, and especially you telling me you only got 600 cops and they sending in thousands, but yeah, go ahead.
Correct. So the argument talked about it in effect being a federal seizure. And I believe that it was under sort of the phrasing of it as a federal invasion. And that's where the claims in the litigation part of it and the actual lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security says, cites the two key constitutional amendments. One of them is the First Amendment. People have the right to gather to protest peacefully, right? The other, though, is the 10th Amendment. And that's the amendment that speaks to states' rights. So what are the states' rights, right, under this framework? A couple of other highlights I think that is important here is that there are allegations of unconstitutional tactics being used and militarization of raids, warrantless arrests. I mean, I can sit here and spend the rest of this giving you examples of they're going door to door now. They're kicking people's doors. Listen, they are kicking people's doors in without warrants. What Minneapolis police cannot do without crossing its T's and dotting its I's, these ICE agents are able to come into people's homes. They have no warrants for it. An administrative warrant is an opinion. It does not go to the threshold that is legally required, but they're doing it. They've got use of firearms against protest. They will take out their weapons and like actually point it at people indiscriminately. We had instances of intentional pro-ICE agitators from outside of the state coming in to try to agitate it. We believe on the ground that these people are planted in there. We saw what happened with George Floyd, right? When there was that protest and right. And who were they basically vilifying? Our own communities. When witnesses on the ground kept saying, this person is not from here. This person is not from my block. So you know what we're doing this time around? We're training people to take pictures and video and to yell them out. You know how when our kids were little, we're like, if anybody comes up to you and you don't know who they are and they're trying to talk to you, start screaming, stranger danger, stranger danger. So basically we've taken the stranger danger approach and applied it to agitators. So when people see agitators, like someone came and burned the American flag, and after they finished burning it, because see, they want the video, right? They want the video to then go live and show how Minnesota, we're a bunch of animals. We don't even appreciate our country, which we built. But anyway, and then he left. Well, there were a group of observers that didn't approach him, wasn't being aggressive, but followed them saying, what's your name? Where are you from? How come you did? Why weren't you part of the protest? If you're part of our group, why aren't you staying with us to voice and to write to show our concern? We had another agitator show up and said, we just killed one of yours. Don't you learn your lesson? And screaming and saying, you're next. And, you know, just things, horrible things like that. And we had, you know, again, someone came in and physically got themselves between them to de-escalate. It's a buffet. It's a buffet. And if you're able to, I'd love to share the link to that because I would love your viewers to get a chance to kind of read through both the TRO and the litigation is, because I will tell you, this is it. Like, I do not recall any other state filing this type of litigation. I believe Minnesota is again, right, the lead on that.
Do me a favor, Anastasia, if you look to the right, put the link in the studio chat and I'll put it on screen so the audience can go to it, okay? Melina, there's not a lot of distinction of what is being described, what Anastasia is describing in Minneapolis, not a lot of distinction with what's going on in LA, right? I mean, it's the same situation, I'm sure, one. Two, tell us, just like in Minneapolis too, is there any investigation of Keith, or are they ignoring that? And I kind of, it ran across my screen. I didn't really get to delve into it. Was this the conflict or the event that brought you into contact with the mayor and that piece, the Keith Porter issue? I know something happened.
No, I think you're probably talking about my column about the mayor here. So what's happening in Los Angeles is absolutely disgusting. And we know that ICE was unleashed here in June. And Black Lives Matter grassroots put out two statements about the ICE raids. One in January, when this current regime declared what it intended to do with ICE. And then another one in June when ICE was unleashed in Los Angeles. And we said that for Black people, these ICE raids are terrible and we cannot afford to quote unquote sit it out. And Reverend Mark, you know that there was a lot of conversation online, especially some of them now we're finding out were either paid operatives or AI actually saying Black people should sit this one out. They weren't even real. A lot of them were not even real people saying right. these things, right? And so what
Black women are tired and we don't want to do nothing no more.
Right.
No, which is real, you know, Black women carried it back, but that thing, I noticed it metastasized. It just went everywhere. Yeah, but go ahead. You're right.
Yeah. And let me be clear, as a Black woman, I'm tired, but we keep going to keep on fighting. You know, Mama Harriet was tireder than us. So who are you to sit it out? We don't get to sit it out. Our grandmothers didn't get to sit it out. Right. So we said, you know, for four reasons, these ICE raids are terrible. One, Black people have always been the moral compass of the world. And we have to do what's right. We have to do what's right. These ICE raids are wrong. The idea of wrestling babies from the arms of children, from their mothers, is wrong. And so we have to do what's right. Two, as we talk about migrants, Black people are migrants too. Look at what's happening in Minneapolis with the attack and targeting of Somalis. And let me tell you, they don't know if you a Somali or an African American. They don't know the difference, right? So our migrant siblings, and one of my sisters from Haitian Bridge Alliance will also be quick to say, look at what's happened, especially to Haitians, when you talk about particular targeting, right? So Black people are migrants too. Three, we believe in a praxis of solidarity. But then lastly, as it relates to Keith Porter, that there has never been a time in the history of this country when more police in our communities have been good for Black people. And so we hate that that has proven to be true with the murder of Keith Porter. He is an illustration of that, that this ICE agent who moved into his building, who nobody knew he was there, nobody knew he was an ICE agent, nobody knew, is empowered and enabled, feels empowered and enabled to put on his ICE gear and take his ICE-issued firearm and murder this Black father in front of his own home. Let me just say this one big difference, because you asked about the column, that we see between Minneapolis and New York and Chicago, where you have mayors and local leaders who've been speaking up and stepping up, is in Los Angeles, we see rhetoric only. And we actually see an LAPD who's been collaborating with ICE. So as we've been out at the anti-ICE demonstrations, I was not tear gassed by ICE. I was not tear gassed by Homeland Security. I was tear gassed by LAPD. It's LAPD shooting people with rubber bullets. It's LA County sheriffs that beat our elder Baba Akili. Right? It's local law enforcement that's complicit. And we've heard a deafening silence from our mayor, who has not uttered Keith Porter's name once. And so we're saying our elected officials, even if you think you're outnumbered and outgunned, we need more than rhetoric against a fascist, which every liberal city and every liberal, every sane person is going to be anti-Trump. But put your money where your mouth is. Put your, like I think about Mayor Johnson in Chicago, put your salt trucks where your mouth is and block ICE, right? At least do something, step up, do something. And that's what we're not seeing in Los Angeles. And that's why we've had to speak out about the mayor, who continues to fund the police, even though police killings have surged by 70% in the city. As crime is down at the lowest rates it's ever been since 1959, she continues to fund police that are complicit with ICE. And I say that wanting to call her into her progressive values that I know that she's grounded in. This is not, you know, hateful. This is really a plea. Do what's right for the people of Los Angeles, especially Black folks in Los Angeles.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance in the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
No, and you're right about that. Karen does have a progressive background. She needs to be about this life. She needs to do that. But now also to be clear, and then we'll check the same question for you, Anastasia. Is there any effort? The DOJ said it's not investigating Renee. I don't know what they're doing about Keats. Is there any effort to hold the officer, the ICE officer, accountable, Melina? Any effort to investigate Keith's death, or is just thin air?
It's community. So community is mobilizing. We've had now two vigils for Keith. We're mobilizing this morning, which is why I'm going to have to go in about 15 minutes. Correct. We're mobilizing this morning to LA Police Commission demanding that the police chief name and arrest the ICE agent who killed Keith Porter. He hasn't even been named. In Minneapolis, it was community that named Jonathan Ross. It wasn't like it was police who did it, but we're demanding that LAPD name and arrest the ICE agent who killed Keith Porter. He's a danger as long as he's on the loose. We've had a community meeting with the district attorney demanding that he file charges, but our district attorney is a mini version of Donald Trump and has pretty much to our faces said he's not planning to file charges. There's been just kind of a loose statement since our mobilization that they're quote unquote investigating, but it could take years. We don't have years. We don't have years. And so the community has to mobilize. We just launched a petition demanding that this chief of police, again, name and arrest and the ICE agent who killed Keith Porter, but also stop with the character assassination of Keith Porter. And so that petition is at tinyurl.com/signforkeith. And we also have to uplift, and I'd be remiss if I didn't uplift, that this, I'm not just saying that the police chief is terrible because I think all police chiefs are terrible. I do think all police chiefs are terrible. But this one is especially terrible. He's a former sheriff, LA County sheriff, who actually was ousted, voted out of office because he was collaborating with ICE to have folks deported from our jails. And so he was so bad that the worst sheriff in history, Alex Villanueva, was thought of as better than Jim McDonnell. So this petition is to Jim McDonnell. And also it's saying to the police commission and to the mayor that if Jim McDonnell won't step up, stop with the character assassination of Keith Porter, name and arrest Keith Porter's killer, then they need to oust the police chief. And if they don't, then there'll be political repercussions for them.
Give me that tiny URL one more time, please.
tinyurl.com/signforkeith.
Sign for Keith. No, absolutely. Not a lot of time left. Same question to you, Anastasia. There's no indication. First of all, have they even named the officer who shot Renee? Even though I also think it's peculiar, y'all, that these people are running around doing their own cell phone videos. That's odd. Like, what are they doing about that? Are they trying to, in advance, vindicate themselves? I don't know what that's about. But they've not named that individual either. We don't know a lot of. Or do we have his name? I don't know.
We do have his name.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, we do have his name. But much like she mentioned earlier, it was because community bird dogged that and was able to. I think it was one of our local grassroots media was able to track it and find out. A lot of what's happening on the ground is being covered by our trusted grassroots media, because mainstream media really is not doing much about really putting the spotlight on what communities are going through right now in Minnesota. So in much like what is happening in LA, here in Minnesota, it is about grassroots. One of the first things I did was mobilize and launch a statewide campaign demanding that the city of Minneapolis, and more importantly, the Hennepin County attorney, announced that they were going to do a parallel investigation into what led up to Renee's murder. For about 2 days, every time, you know, anyone of authority took the mic at a press conference, one of the first things out of their mouths was how, you know, they're not being allowed to play in the sandbox by the feds. That is no surprise. We've seen this in Chicago in October. The young lady that was shot 5 times by the ICE agent. Was he ever charged? No. Was it ever investigated? No. Right? Thankfully, she lived, but Renee didn't. Right? And so in order for us to get justice, we have to take over the process of demanding transparency. We're not going to get it from the Homeland Security folks and that regime, right? But who can we immediately get it from? The folks we elected to be the people's lobby, to be the people's advocate, right? And so we demanded and mobilized phone calls and emails statewide demanding that the county attorney launch an investigation. Within 24 hours, they announced that. Sadly, at the same time, it seems like they're trying to backstep a little bit now. And I have to give our attorney general a shout out, because, again, we pushed again and saying, you know what? Symbolic gestures, not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I understand it'll be easier if they handed over all this stuff. But do you know how many Ring cameras are out there? Do you know how many people videotape this stuff? Do you know how many people, right, they could be talking to? They don't need to talk to the same people that the feds are talking to be able to come to some kind of conclusion. If CNN can take all these videos and compile this 3D, right? What is it? Reconstruction of, right, the scene. Why the heck can't our county attorney do the same thing and bring the appropriate charges? But it takes boldness. It takes, I can't say this out loud.
You can't. Please, say it.
It takes cojones. Right. It takes someone to care more about people than their political careers. It takes someone to care more about people than political parties' platforms that never really did much for people that look like me and you. Let's just say it, right? Mm. Because just because somebody's leading does not mean that they're leading for you. Right. Yeah. What is that saying? Yeah. One of my mentors when I was in law school taught me something. I'm probably going to like missay it, but I got it and I always carried it with me. Just because they're your skin folk don't mean they're your kinfolk.
Yeah.
That came from my civil rights law professor.
It came from Zora Neale Hurston. Skin folk ain't kinfolk. Right.
I never had heard that before. And I'm telling you, I've carried this my entire career, because we do see that. We call that the crabs in the bucket effect, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In modern day activism.
Yeah, you're right. So let's do this, because we're almost out of time. I want to get final instructions and assignments from both of you. First of all, Melina, would you want our audience and listeners and the entire community. And I've got the URL up on the screen for those of you watching, tinyurl.com/signforKeith. You can do that, right? That's one thing you can do right now. Name and arrest the petition and name and arrest the ICE agent who killed Keith Porter. Do we even know if that person's still on the streets right now?
We have no information at all.
Yeah,
no.
That's on these people wearing masks. But go ahead, Melina, because first of all, tell us about there's a rally today.
So we're mobilizing to Police Commission, which is the oversight body, and the police chief gives a report there. We'll be making public comment demanding that he name and arrest that off-duty ICE agent. So we'll be mobilizing there. Tomorrow, we're mobilizing in front of the district attorney's office to demand that charges be filed against the off-duty ICE agent who killed Keith Porter. We're also looking for people to give us information. We say give it to the community folks rather than the police, who kind of protect each other. So we have an email address, info@blmla.org, info@blmla.org. So if anybody knows anything, please email us, info@blmla.org. And we've been canvassing the complex that Keith Porter lived in and was killed in to try to get as much information as we can. And then lastly, we remember that this is a Black girl dad. Whose daughter is a standout college sophomore at University of Texas, 19 years old. His younger daughter is 9 years old. They are left without a father who worked every day for them. He was a working class man, worked at Home Depot, ironically, full time, and then took a second job to make sure his daughter had what she needed to do well in college. Please support his daughters. You can donate directly to his daughters at tinyurl.com/donateforKeith. tinyurl.com/donateforKeith. And that is the, there's a few of them, but that's the GoFundMe that his mother, Franciola, set up for his daughters. So please, if you got $5, donate it so these girls, there's no way, and there's a terrible video online, a beautiful but terrible video that Naya, his 19-year-old, put up online, talking about what a loss it is that he's not just a headline, he's her dad, and that she's mourning his loss. So please do what you can to wrap your arms around these girls, around this family who are reeling from the theft of a real Black father, a real Black man who was doing everything that we say we want our brothers to do. And it's just an atrocity that his life has been stolen, and we'll do all we can to get justice in his name.
Amen. Folks, it's on the screen as well. tinyurl.com, sign for Keith, tinyurl, donate for Keith. Please spread the word, and info@blmla.org.
And follow BLM Grassroots for updates, BLM Grassroots on social media.
BLM Grassroots, please. Also, I put on the screen, it's a long URL. I'll leave it up there so people can get it, because this is the complaint for declaratory and injunctive relief. Apart from that, though, and I really appreciate both of you joining us. This could have been any one of us. It could have been me. It could have been any one of these young women. This is just, it's insane. And we fear for our children, as you said, Anastasia. But we also had to fear for ourselves, because my children still kind of need me. They don't think they do. But I worry that if I'm the next Keith, you know, I can't die right now. I just can't. It's just not something that I can afford to do. For them, Anastasia Belladonna, please give us assignments and where people who want to support the movement for Renee Good, to say her name as well, where they can go and what they can do.
Yeah, well, first I want to say that my heart goes out to the Porter family. Loss like that is unimaginable, but we're living it. And so I love what his daughter said, because in a way, that is exactly what the family Renee is saying, which is, you know, our loved ones aren't just the hashtag, right? Nobody wants to be that hashtag. Nobody wants to be that media, right, point. I think, I mean, there's a reason why Common Cause Minnesota is known as the prominent nonpartisan watchdog group, right? And so the assignment I'm going to give folks is to go out there, whether you're in Minnesota or not. Go out, join a peaceful protest, a peaceful rally, because what I know a lot of people say, well, what does that do? It does something really important when we're looking at authoritarianism, right? It says this is not normal. Mm-mm. We want to normalize it. So that's one thing everyone can do, right? The second thing I would love for those of you that are as outraged as we are is to please Google Hennepin County Attorney's Office. There is an online a website that you can share thoughts and what have you and say, you know what? I'm from such and such a state and I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you to hold power accountable. And I want folks to do that. It takes seconds. And it's like a drop in a bucket. We want that bucket to be overflowing, right? People sometimes feel isolated. Oh, what's one thing going to do? One thing adds to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. And that is so, so important. Okay. The last thing I want people to do, honestly, create relationship with your direct elected officials, whether it's school board, county board, city council, mayor. I want you to create that relationship because we cannot be empowered in the rights so many died for us to have if we don't hold them accountable. It's not, democracy is not about election day.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day.
Anastasia Belladonna, Common Cause, Minnesota State Director, Melina Abdullah, co-founder of Black Lives Matter Grassroots, on Keith Port and Renee Good. We appreciate you both. This is what being an apostle is. You know, when Jesus died, those who went and told the story and lifted up his name were apostles. You all are the apostles of these modern day Christs who also were executed and judged wrongfully, Keith Porter and Renee Good. We appreciate you both, folks. Stay tuned. We'll keep you posted. You all know how to reach me at all times. Let's continue to get the word out. Thank you both, Melina. Thank you, Anastasia.
So much.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.